Well, good morning, everyone. We'll begin with Psalm 66 this morning. And verse 3 says, "Say to God, how awesome are your works." Can you repeat those five words? How awesome are your works? How awesome are your works? And verse 1 says, "Make a joyful shout to God." So let's sing it out. Make how awesome are your works. So on three, one, two, three. How awesome are your works. I don't know the last time you shouted to the Lord in joy, but I pray it's often. And I wanted to just, begin with just singing Charles Wesley's hymn, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." And it talks about verse 2, where we read here, "Sing out the honor of his name." And so verse 2 in "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing" is, "My gracious master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad, the honors of your name." So let us sing. Look through those words just a minute. It's on page 1 of your notes. It should be anyway. Psalm 66. Last week we had in Psalm 65, praise to God for his salvation and providence. And today we have praise to God for his awesome works. Using that word that I like to relate to God, awesome and not to anything else, right? Praise to God for his awesome work, to the chief musician, a song, a psalm. This does not say a psalm of David. It probably is, but it doesn't identify it that way, or the conditions under which this psalm was written. But it's to praise him, and we praise him under every condition, right? Verse 1, "Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice in him. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. Now notice the pronoun changes to singular. I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals with the sweet aroma of rams. I will offer bulls with goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled or praised with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear, but certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who is not turned away from my prayer for his mercy, nor his mercy from me. Amen. This is the second now in this. There's four of these psalms strung together here, but they're so great in a way because they're all about him. We got away from myself. I like that. And I think we need to be aware that there's more out there than just me. And when we are praising him, it's just always good. So he begins by making a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Now, when will that happen? When will all the earth praise him? Will it praise him today? I don't think so. Will it praise him tomorrow? Maybe. It will begin when he returns and establishes his millennial reign, and then forevermore. So this is all about looking ahead to really, in my opinion, what's coming, but still it's instructions for us in the interim on how we're already there spiritually. We're not there yet physically, but we're already with him. We're really even with him in heaven right now because of what he has done. But until we are there with these mortal bodies, we need to be praising him, I think, and being a witness to the world. So here it says, make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. So that would include us now as well. Sing out the honor of his name. Are you honoring his name? Make his praise glorious. That means with gusto, I think. Glorious, you know, I mean, not just loud, but glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works? Max came in this morning talking about the DNA and how unbelievable it is. Everything about his creation is unbelievable if you start to look into it. And you say, well, this is over the top. I can't even understand this. Well, of course we can't understand it. He's infinite and we're not. But here it says, how awesome are your works through the greatness of your power. Well, it's easy when you look at the news. I don't know where they got that word news, because there's news anymore. It's old and it's bad, you know. But it looks like there's no power at all out there except evil, right? Because that's all we hear about. But that's out there. It's not in here. Not in our hearts. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth, there it is again, all the earth, looking ahead, shall worship you and sing praises to you. Satan hasn't had much more time to be in control of this earth. He's about done. And then all the earth will worship and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. And then there's a pause. Verse 5, come and see the works of God. Looking back in the history of Israel, he is awesome. There's again the word. He is awesome in his doings toward the sons of men. He turned the Red Sea into dry land. They went through the Jordan River on foot as they got ready to conquer Jericho, as you remember, through the Red Sea when they came out of Egypt, such mighty miracles. There we will rejoice in him. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. So he sees what's going on. He sees this Prop 1 being proposed, which would extend the right, without any questions whatsoever, to take the life of any unborn up to full term, up to 40 weeks, just absolute murder. He sees. He knows. His eyes observe the nation. Observe means to study intently, for us anyway. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah, again, a pause. And then moving on, oh, bless our God, you peoples, that's us, and make the voice of his praise be heard. Are you doing that? Who keeps our soul among the living and do not allow and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us, and we're being tested, and you'll be tested today and tomorrow and the next day until we're out of here. Don't pray for freedom from problems and freedom from testing. Just slow God down in what he's trying to do in you, right? I don't like it, but it's good for us. And he doesn't say like it, he says do it, right? And he doesn't even say, don't try to understand why, just obey, right? Isn't he? Obey and be faithful. He's not saying understand everything I'm telling you to do. You will, but not now, maybe. For you, O God, have tested us or tried us. That word there is to determine if you're genuine. What they would do is to test silver, test metal. Is it really pure? Is it really silver? Or is it mixed with all kinds of other stuff? And how about you? How about me? How pure are we? Are we pretty much purely Christ, or we got all a bunch of other stuff mixed in us? Well, we got a lot of world mixed in, particularly in the fleshly part of us, that's for sure. But he says here that you have refined us as silver is refined. And they would continue to bring that to heat until all of the slag, all of the mess had risen to the top. It keeps scraping it off. And in the old days, before it was kind of sophisticated, when you could look into the silver, into the container, and see your face, then all the dross had been removed. Until then, you keep refining it. You keep heating it. You keep heating it. And so I don't know how much longer he has to heat me, but I'm not sure that he can see his face in me yet. I'd like for that to be, but you are refining us. You have brought us into the net. This is Israel primarily. You've laid affliction on our backs, slavery in Egypt. You have caused men to ride over our heads. Of course, we had the Assyrians. We had the Babylonians. We had the Romans all riding over the heads of Israel. We went through fire and through water. But you brought us out to rich fulfillment, and that really hasn't happened yet for in full, but it has happened in part. For us believers, it's happened significantly already. And now we shift to the personal pronouns, as I mentioned, and it's all I. It was you, in us. Well, the you was the Lord, but us. Here it's I. I will go into your house with burnt offerings, in other words, sacrifice. Remember what we have there in Romans 12:1. I beseech you, I beg your brethren, to what? Present your bodies, a living sacrifice. We're not sacrificing dead animals anymore. We're to be the sacrifice like Christ in terms of a living sacrifice, living for him, not dying for him. In terms of that aspect of it, it's not putting a dead animal on as a substitute. Jesus has already done that. But in those days, they didn't have the Messiah yet. So he said, I will go into your house with burnt offerings. That was the recommended procedure that the Lord had for them at that time. I will pay you my vows or my promises, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. How often when you're in trouble do you make these vows or promises to the Lord? Oh, just get me through this, Lord. Just get me through this one. This is such a hard one, Lord. Just get me through it and I'll do anything you want. Man, I'll be twice as active and all this stuff and all that. And you get through it and it's like the little kid. Remember Pastor Chuck's story talking to the little kids on a roof sliding down, and he said, oh, Lord, protect me, save me, I'm going to die, I'm falling off the roof. And about that time, a nail catches his pants and rips him to a stop. And he says, never mind, Lord, it's over, I've solved it, no problem. And so that's what it does, isn't it? He solves it, and we want to take credit for it. And when we mess up, we want to blame him for it. Isn't that kind of the way it is in a way? But here it says, when my mouth has spoken and when I was in trouble, I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals. And may we say, I will offer you my body as a living sacrifice. The fat animal probably fits there, but with the sweet aroma of rams I will offer bulls with goats, meaning the whole array of sacrifice. I'm not holding anything back. Rams, bulls, goats, the whole bit. Again, a pause. And now again, that come, it was come and see in verse 5. Now it's come and hear. Come and hear, all you who fear God. That's the big need and the big problem. Those who don't fear God are a problem. Problem for themselves and a problem for everybody else. But we who fear God, we want to come and hear. It's all you who fear God. And what? I will declare what he has done for my soul. How is your witness? That's what he's got us here for, is really to declare what he's done for us, primarily without words. I think words are good, but words are often overused. And if our lives don't back those words up, they are kind of meaningless. People won't pay any attention to them. I will declare what he has done for my soul. Wow. Can you think of anything that compares to that? I don't think so. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled or praised with my tongue. Tongue. I have a lot of trouble with that member of my body. It doesn't always praise the Lord. A lot of ugliness comes out of that tongue at times. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. And I think we can all say that. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Thank you, Lord. And then finally, blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this great psalm. And we do bless you this morning. We do praise you. You have not turned away your voice or your heart from our voice, our prayer. And we just want to say we want to bless you. So lead us now as we would go to prayer for a few minutes and respond, Holy Spirit, as you would lead us. Let us have our hearts open to the Spirit and pray. Oh, we're about almost at the end of the hour. I just want to make a request to you. This week, we've talked about a lot of things in prayer, and they're all important. I do believe that we are in a position this week to take a more active role right here in the state of California than we can touch in terms of praying for the Ukraine or anywhere else. By far the largest number of defenseless lives being taken each day is an abortion, much greater than on the battlefield of the wars around the world. I mean, we're doing 800,000 at least just in this country every year. That's 500,000 since the Ukrainian war started. They're all defenseless. They're all 100% dead. And we have the opportunity to vote. Not very hard to vote, and I'm sure all of us are voting, but the request I'm making for you this week is to get the word out to as many people as you can to vote. There's a great website out there. It's StopProp, StopProp, StopProp1.com, and it'll give you all the tools you need. It'll give you door hangers, things. You can get door hangers for your neighbors or whatever you want. There is, quoting, of course, of the bill on that, there's an attorney's opinion on the illegality of it. And it's horrible. It's horrible. If that doesn't bring the wrath of God on California, I don't know what will. This goes all the way to 40-week abortion. 40 weeks. Killing of human lives. And there are a lot of wicked Republicans out there, but at least the Republican Party is not, the Democrat Party is for abortion. So I just want to close as we look at this glorious psalm and back to exciting things again, back to him and not back to all the morass we're in here. Oh, and by the way, one other thing I just want to mention. I just so love short mission trips. But the one advantage we have over any short mission trip that's ever gone out, God is going to use you to witness to people, generally speaking, that you have an opportunity to see again and again and again. That's what we don't get on a short-term mission trip. We plant the seed, right? And we need that watering, and that's a long-term thing. But pray for lasting fruit on every single outreach we have, whether it's Harvest Crusade or whatever it is, or it's just your witness out on the street today. Pray for lasting fruit from that, right? So we all know that. And then, so pray for Linda and pray for Steve Kuhn and all the ones who are out there. And I can assure you, right out there, you won't have any trouble finding unbelievers. You won't even have to use any gas. Just put out your arm. Or maybe right inside your own house, you know, in some cases. Yeah, okay. Well, let's close with this old hymn. Well, it's not that old. I remember when it came out. It came out in the 50s. How great thou art, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars. I see the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. So let's sing along with this. May we not forget that. Thank you for each one who's here, and may we honor you all this day, Lord, and remembering how great you are. In Jesus' name, amen.